RN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Thoughts of suicide may feel impossible to overcome, but with help and support, you can find hope and meaning. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK to speak to a counselor, or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org. It's free, it's confidential, it's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And even if it feels like it, you're not alone.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5,000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5,000. Enjoy.
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle, and here is my spout.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
tip pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time now for the Conservative Curmudgeon Radio Show. Now, here's Grouchy.
Are you ready for us to be strong? Are you ready? Are you ready for us to prove them wrong? Are you ready? Let me know you're ready to be turning into people who cannot be afraid of us. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready?
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back into KLRN Radio's Wednesday night, the grand slam of grassroots conservative talk radio. I'm the Grouch. I get things kicked off every Wednesday here. We're going to remind you that coming up tonight after me is the Red Wine. And then following that will be R&W. Dan will be in-house, from what I'm told. And then you'll get America Off the Rails for your nightcap. So do yourself a favor, get settled in. Time to get some knowledge on here. And before we actually get rolling real good, would like to offer some serious thoughts and prayers to my neighbors to the north in Tennessee, who endured that devastating tornado. I was looking at some pictures of it just a couple hours ago on the news. Now that, you know, everything's settled and done, and they know, and it's wow, it's horrible. They're calling it an F3, but it was on the ground for 50-ish miles. I mean, that's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. The total count of deaths so far sits at 24. There are still people missing, so they do expect that will go up some. Saw a story about one couple that was literally Wizard of Oz. They were in their bathtub when the house was lifted and thrown, and they took the ride in the bathtub and lived to tell about it after they hit the ground. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. We have Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee. Of course, Tennessee is under a state of emergency. And just amazing. She was talking about how much help they're going to need. And I know that there are some guys that are right up the road from me, as a matter of fact, that left at 4 o'clock this morning, arrived on site in Nashville at one and got right to work helping with cleanup. They said they were at three different houses already this afternoon. So they're doing what they can. Bless them. Bless them all. They're going to need a lot of help up there. If you haven't seen the pictures yet, it's truly devastating. It's reminiscent of the photos from the Chicago area tornado several years back. I guess that's been about seven-ish years, maybe eight, something like that. Sadly, that tornado stayed on the ground for a few miles. This stayed on the ground for over 40 miles, closer to 50, they're saying. That's just unbelievable. And as I said, we do know that there are 24 lives that have been lost. Putnam County was the hardest hit by the storm, and there are people throughout the region just needing everything. I mean, basics, food, water, shelter, clothing. You know, they've lost it all. It's gone. And it's not even like a hurricane where you find it down the street. It's gone. It's obliterated. And this is the time, people. This is the kind of thing that we as conservatives, we do best. We help our neighbors. You know, we're charitable, especially when it counts. And they are truly in need. And it does count right now. And it will for a long, long time coming. Governor Bill Lee was working with the White House, who President Trump is planning to visit the state on Friday. Blackburn also discussed the primary in her state, saying that she was not surprised that Vice President Joe Biden won on the Democrat ticket. I understand that the primary is still news, but these reporters are pressing Senator Blackburn on this during a time when she's worried about human lives and you know, trying to create living conditions for people that have been displaced from their homes, and so many of them have. It blows my mind that reporters are trying to take her back into politics instead of people. But she was gracious, and she answered the questions. And, you know, she said she wasn't surprised that Biden had won on the Democrat side. Won the most delegates on the Democrat side. But she said, you know, if you look at the positive for the state, as far as the Republicans are concerned, Donald Trump got just under 400,000 votes, which is more than Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders pulled together. So there is that. You know, she continued saying that people are grateful that President Trump is going to be coming here on Friday, assessing the needs, working with the governor. She said, I got off the phone last night about 10 p.m. with the governor, and his team are doing an incredible job of managing the situation and carrying forward with Super Tuesday, even in the midst of this disaster. So that's what's going on in Tennessee. Just wow. I mean, Super Tornado Tuesday. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. You're going to see a lot of organizations be careful about who you give money to. Please be careful. Verify who they are and what they're doing and where the money's going. Or if you're dropping off supplies, please verify who you're dropping them off with, and let's do our best to make sure that things get to where they need to go. And let's help these people as much as we can. All right. So with that, we're going to jump across the pond. We're going to go over to the UK. And a lot of people miss this because I didn't see a whole lot about it, but the United Kingdom has become the first Western nation to move ahead with large-scale censorship on the internet, effectively creating regulation that will limit freedom on the last frontier of digital liberty. Now, this move has the nation reeling. Prime Minister Boris Johnson has unveiled rules that will punish internet companies with fines and even imprisonment if they fail to protect users from harmful and illegal content. Now, couched in the language, it suggests that this is being done to protect children from pedophiles and vulnerable people from cyberbullying. The proposals will place a massive burden on small companies. Further, they will ultimately make it impossible for those not of the pervasive politically correct ideology to produce and share content. The new guardian of the internet will be the Office of Communications, also known as Ofcom, a government-approved body that already regulates television, radio, broadcasting, and even the postal service. This group has been accused on many occasions of acting as the moral arbiter of the nation, and perhaps unsurprisingly, tends towards a very left-leaning position. Speaking to OrderOrder.com, Matthew Lesh, the head of research at the Adam Smith Institute, warned, make no mistake, free speech is under threat. The government is proposing the most censorious online speech regimen in the Western world. We must not be fooled by platitudes about freedom of expression. The inevitability or inevitably woke bureaucrats in Ofcom will be deciding what sort of speech is and is not allowed across much of the internet. They will have extraordinary discretion to decide who to target and what is harmful. This is a recipe for disaster for anyone that thinks differently to the Notting Hill set. Any correct but unpopular opinions will not just come under attack from the Twitterati, but the law itself. So there you have his statement. This is really more. We've seen already in the UK where they've arrested people for making certain tweets and Facebook posts. This is only going to enforce that mentality, and it's going to put an office in charge of it that, as you just heard, tends to lean left. So anything that you say that they find offensive, literally you can be arrested and jailed for. You know, to the gentleman that posted his little picture about what real freedom is in the UK, being able to walk across somebody's property. Yeah, that's all fine and good, but you can't talk while you're there because you can get arrested for that. So, you know, whatever you got to tell yourself, I guess, to say that you're really truly free, but you're not. You're not. You're just a British prick that thinks you know what freedom is. So Ofcom has a new boss in place in the UK to go along with the new powers. Dame Melanie Dawes has been a career civil servant for her entire working life and was most recently the Civil Service Gender and Diversity Champion from 2015 to 2019. I'm sure that bodes well for anybody that might want to speak their mind. So the rules. Everybody wants to know what the rules are. So here we are. The ability to create guidelines that instruct content hosting companies, i.e. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, etc., on how to manage online censorship of user-generated content. They will create rules for content that is not illegal but has the potential to cause harm. They will have the remit for deciding, writing up, and adapting rules on how internet regulations work. Not only is the government mandating an outside body to orchestrate the regulation of the internet, but they're also handing over the power to decide exactly what should be censored. Boris Johnson, formerly considered the darling of liberty for his backing of Brexit, appears to have handed over control of who may speak and what may be said online to an organization that prides itself on its ability to clamp down on speech it considers fringe. The nation's newspapers are owned by a small group of people and companies. Many of the major television and radio stations are under charter with the UK government. Book publishing companies are too afraid to publish a single word that goes against the progressive orthodoxy. The ability to congregate and hold rallies is tightly controlled by government bodies. And now, the last realm of freedom, the last bastion, the last place in which like-minded souls can exchange ideas, learn, and express themselves to their fullest, is about to fall under the Orwellian control of an agency that will not even be accountable to the government itself. Ladies and gentlemen, the Ministry of Truth is in the UK now. How long do you think it's going to take Democrats to do this when it comes here? They will be in power again one day. They will have the majority again one day. I hope it's not anytime soon, but I can promise you this is definitely part of what they want to do here, too. So, what do you think about that chat room? Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, exactly, Al. I see it. I see it, Ron. I see it, Al. Rooster, yep. Guys in the chat room, they know what's going on here. They see it. They know. This is, it, I mean, you can't even just say it's censorship. It's thought control. If I were these social media companies, it would be worth it for me to just pull out of their country altogether. Now, why would you even bother putting up with that kind of crap? I don't get it. I just don't. All right, so anyway, we're going to hop back across the pond, come back home, and you know, we've had some really what's the word I'm looking for here? I think peculiar kind of applies. Let's just say there's some strange things afoot at the DCCC. How about that? And steal a line from Bill and Ted. We've had three of the big players on the Democrat ticket for president drop in the last 3 days, and all have thrown their support now behind Joe Biden, with Bloomberg joining the Biden party today. And that leaves us with Biden, Bernie, and Warren, basically. It's a three-person that isn't really a third-person race. This is, you know, right now, the only thing Warren can do is drop gracefully, but she's going to milk this, I think. I think she's going to milk it until states like Michigan and there's somebody out west, Arizona, and there's one other state I forget. But I think she's going to try to get through those three. She scheduled stops in them this week already. So she's wanting to move forward, but she's reading the writing on the wall. They had a huge come to Jesus today, her and all her staffers, and they know that the time is short and limited. But the big question is she going to be bought and paid for, or is she going to throw in with Bernie? If she goes Biden, it's over for Bernie. He'll have no chance. But if she throws in behind Bernie, I think there could be a fight. Now, I'm not saying it'd be a big knockdown drag out, but I think that I think it's going to be enough if she throws in. I think that if her supporters and Bernie supporters, which are both pretty close, I mean, you know, I mean, the Bernie bros are threatening to burn Milwaukee down and things like that. And Warren's not there. But here's where I think they come in close. I think if Warren throws in with Bernie, that that her supporters and his supporters both stay home and don't go vote for Biden in a general if Biden wins the nomination. That's what I see. I see them feeling extra burned after 2016 if this happens again. So, and with that in mind, I gotta tell you, Joe Biden proposed something the other day that that kind of caught me off guard. But you know, it's Joe Biden, so I guess I shouldn't have been too surprised. But Joe Biden wants to amend the United States Constitution. And you say, yeah, I know he wants to take our guns away, but that's not what I'm talking about. Joe Biden wants to amend the United States Constitution to prohibit private individuals from using their own money to make a contribution to a federal election campaign or to fund their own federal campaign. Okay, now I kind of get where he's going with this, but this goes way beyond, okay? This goes way beyond. Because what the Biden this Biden amendment would need to curtail the First Amendment, which guarantees us American citizens the freedom of speech. In its 2010 decision in Citizens United v. the Federal Election Commission, the Supreme Court affirmed that spending money on a political campaign is a constitutionally protected exercise of that right. On his campaign website, Biden has published what he calls a plan to guarantee government works for the people. Part of this plan seeks the constitutional amendment that would prohibit Americans using their own money for political campaigns. The amendment, as Biden describes it, would give the government sole power to fund federal campaigns. So you and I would be taxed to fund political campaigns that we have no say in where our money goes. Okay. Now I know what he's trying to do. He's trying to keep people like Bloomberg and Steyer. And I mean, even Trump used just a small portion of his own money. Yeah, in the chat room. Yes, it is insane. It's very much insane. We're talking about the introduction of a constitutional amendment to entirely eliminate private dollars from our federal elections system, says Biden's plan on his campaign website. It actually says that. Biden believes it is long past time to end the influence of private dollars in our federal elections. As president, he says, the plan will be to fight for a constitutional amendment that requires candidates for federal office to solely fund their campaigns with public dollars and prevent outside spending from distorting the election process. This amendment, says the plan, will do far more than just overturn Citizens United. It will return our democracy, which we don't have, to the people and away from the corporate interests that seek to distort it. Now, see, it all sounds like he's doing all this nice and neat, and I get what he's trying to do, but then again, I get what he's trying to do. So, he would strip you and I of our right to support the individual we want for a particular federal office. And there, obviously, this money would come in the form of revenue to the government, which means taxes on you and I. So we will be taxed, and our money will be divvied up to these campaigns without any input from us as to where our money goes. I don't even see how this can be legal. I really don't. I absolutely don't. Biden's plan does not spell out under what conditions the federal government would or would not give federal tax dollars to an American who wanted to challenge a member of Congress or seek the nomination of one of the political parties for an open congressional seat. See, you know, again, here we go. We got this broad brushstroke idea. Oh, well, let's just end all private money from elections and the federal government will pay for it. Okay, well, what about this? Well, we don't have to worry about that right now. Well, what about that? We don't have to worry about that right now. Well, what if I want to run for office? You need to quit worrying and let's get this done first. Does this sound familiar? We need to pass this and then we can figure out what to do. Does that sound like Obamacare to you? Sounds like Obamacare to me. I mean, I'm just a nobody, but I mean, even I can figure that one out. So I just, divvied up as they see fit. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, incumbents should get 20% more than challengers, unless there's some hokey standard that we want to enact that will help protect our interests because we're the party in power right now. And look, I don't care if they're the Democrats. I don't care if they're the Republicans. And I don't give a shit if it's the Whig Party. I don't want the government controlling my money for as much as I can keep that from happening. It's been proven time and again that the people do better with their money than government. And the left hates that. They absolutely hate it. They believe all money is their money and that they should be giving us what they think we need, instead of us earning what we can earn and giving them as little as we can give them. Yeah, they don't like that. They don't like freedom. They don't like capitalism. And, you know, sadly, that's where this story ties into next. We're about to take a break. It's the bottom of the hour. But when we come back, we're going to expand on this idea of this being freedom and capitalism and exactly what that means. So get your drinks refilled, get back in your warm seats, Rick's going to push the button and play a little music and some commercials, and we're going to be back in about 2.5. So don't run off.
I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5000. Enjoy.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hi, welcome to this Subway ad for the new Sesame Ginger Glazed Chicken Signature Wrap. How would you like it?
I'll take a...
Sports announcer at home?
Yeah, how'd you...
We just know.
My wife picks up the new signature wrap. It's got double the rotisserie-style chicken mixed with a sesame ginger glaze. She appears annoyed at me, but she shrugs it off. Those sweet and savory flavors are calling her name. She lifts the wrap and... She takes the bite! Incredible! And now she's closing the door on my... Subway, make it what you want.
Limited time only at participating restaurants. Double meat basement, average 6-inch sub.
Jumping through some hoops, wanna get my body loose, wanna tell you what to do. I've been running out of bounds like an animal struggling.
Oh yeah, welcome back everybody. I love my music, I can't help it. Just so good, smooth music. Anyway, top of the hour coming up. Red Wine, followed by R&W with Dan and Rick, and then your Nightcap with America Off the Rails, hosted by Rowdy Rick Robinson, the man with the plan, the boss man, the man pushing the buttons behind the scenes, and new granddad. Love it. Love it. Absolutely love it. So when we left off, we were talking about how using our money the way we want to use it versus the government using it and giving us what they think we need is the difference between being free and not being free in capitalism. And we're gonna highlight something here because I thought this really tied together well. I think think it's one and the same. Capitalism is freedom. Freedom is capitalism. And Nikki Haley actually hit on this the other day. And you know, we're gonna use her talk on this, and I'm gonna interject my thoughts as well. But you know, Nikki Haley said basically that we should celebrate capitalism instead of apologizing for it, and our freedom too. Why should we apologize for being free? Many Americans and even some conservatives seem to be ashamed of capitalism, but they should be singing its praises. I mean, literally, it's because of the prosperity and progress that capitalism provides that we should be singing its praises. This country, the United States of America, has lifted up more people, unlocked more progress, and unleashed more prosperity than any other country in history. This is America, and the American system is capitalism. Now, many people avoid saying that word, including some conservatives and business leaders. They treat it like it's a politically incorrect word. But as Haley said, we shouldn't be ashamed of capitalism. It's another word for freedom. And it springs from America's most cherished ideals. So, I mean, let me ask you guys, what good are our rights as Americans if our homes and our savings can just be taken? I mean, are we really free if we own nothing and the government owns everything? And the nation's founders understood that economic freedom, just like freedom of speech and freedom of religion, is essential. We all know the most famous phrases from the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident. We are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. But while we know these words, we don't always remember what it all means. And yes, they mean freedom of speech and freedom of religion and other fundamental rights like our right to bear arms. But the founders knew that economic freedom was just as important. I mean, They never used the word capitalism, but they gave us capitalism in all but name. Everywhere capitalism takes root, people do better. And we should be celebrating this instead of apologizing for it. Its adoption has lifted much of the world out of extreme poverty. But it's not just us. Capitalism has transformed much of the world. 200 years ago, 94% of the world lived in extreme poverty. Today, it's 10%. Much of this drop happened in the last 40 years after Soviet communism collapsed in Russia and Eastern Europe, and after communist China adopted sweeping market reforms. Now, I'm not saying that these countries are all capitalist countries, but they did adopt more capitalist features into their economy that have caused things to grow and prosper, and the people are benefiting from it on every level. How can we sit here and listen to American citizens berating capitalism after knowing what it did to the Soviet Union, after knowing where China was, after knowing where Eastern Europe was? And note the countries that still practice communism. They're poor. The people are doing terribly. A lot of them starving. It drives me insane when I hear people talking about how evil capitalism is. Capitalism isn't evil. Are there some people out there that aren't the most forthright, the most honest, even the most principled that take advantage of capitalism? Yeah, there are. But you know what? You also have to be smart enough to do your homework. You have to take the responsibility for the decisions you make, who you put your money with, where it goes, what it's doing. Do the homework before, not after. Do the homework before. Then if there's something that you need to research more into, do it. I'm not saying to just drop your money in somewhere and be complacent and be happy with it because it seems to be working out. There is, you know, we talk about capitalism. You want to talk about investing and things like that. Let me tell you something. I'm up my investment advisor's butt regularly. He probably gets sick of me calling to tell the truth because when markets shift, I want to know what's happening with my portfolio. I want to know if I need to be moving things from one asset to another. Do I need to drop back out of aggressive stocks? And do I need to invest more money in, say, maybe T-bills or gold and silver? This is my right. If he doesn't like me doing that, he's free to tell me that he doesn't like that, and I'm free to move my money to a different firm if I want to. This is capitalism. We all have freedoms. We all have rights. It's how we exercise them. You can't just sit back and be complacent and wait for something bad to happen so you can blame somebody else. Do good people that are doing their homework get swindled? Yes, they do. They honestly do. But you know what? When they're doing their homework and they're staying on top of the people that are managing their investments for them, it happens a lot less often. Just saying. It's your money. And you're allowed to know what's going on with it at any time. And if they consider that a burden, then maybe you need to find somebody that understands and is willing to work with you on that and move your money. It's time for us out here, the individual, to be more educated and more responsible for ourselves. This is a theme I've been harping on. Look, next week, this show will celebrate its 6th anniversary. 6 years. Personal responsibility has been the recurring theme over and over and over and over, and I can't preach it enough. It's not somebody else's job to look after you. It's your job to look after you. So anyway, enough of that. Let's press on. We got other things in the news we got to cover. We got the Supreme Court that's hearing its first major abortion case of the Trump era. And the way things looked after the opening oral arguments, it looks like, once again, it's going to come down to Chief Justice John Roberts likely having the deciding vote. Roberts did not say enough to tip his hand in an hour of spirited arguments at the high court today. The court's election year look at Louisiana's dispute could reveal how willing the more conservative court is to roll back abortion rights. A decision should come by late June. The outcome could have huge consequences at a time when several states have passed laws being challenged in the courts that would ban abortions after a fetal heartbeat is detected as early as 6 weeks. Personally, I have no issue with this whatsoever. But abortion rights protesters filled the sidewalk in front of the court Wednesday morning. A smaller group of anti-abortion demonstrators stood across the street, some blowing shofars, ram's horns used in Jewish services, to try to drown out the other side's speakers. Okay, now see, this is when people get stupid that I have problems with people, and I don't care what side you're on, okay? Don't be stupid. Just because we agree on a political cause doesn't mean that you can take somebody else's right to speak their mind away. That is not freedom of speech. It's not how it works. True freedom of speech is grabbing a microphone or whatever platform, speaking your piece, and then moving aside and keeping your mouth shut so that somebody who disagrees with you has the same right to stand up and speak theirs. That's true freedom of speech. That is civil discourse. This is an art that is lost among people today. The justices are weighing a Louisiana law requiring doctors who perform abortions to have admitting privileges at a nearby hospital. A federal judge found that just one of Louisiana's three abortion clinics would remain open if the law is allowed to take effect. The federal appeals court in New Orleans, though, upheld the law, setting up the Supreme Court case. Justice Elena Kagan, reflecting the review or the view of her liberal colleagues, noted that a clinic in Shreveport reported transferring just four patients to a hospital out of roughly 70,000 it has treated over 23 years. "I don't know a medical procedure where it's lower than that," Kagan said. Samuel Alito said that the clinic once had its license suspended. This is a big thing. Perhaps the biggest question is whether the court will overrule a 2016 decision in which it struck down a similar law in Texas. Since then, Donald Trump was elected president, and he appointed two justices, Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh, who have shifted the court to the right, even though with those two additions to the court, Roberts almost certainly holds the deciding vote. Now, when the justices temporarily blocked the Louisiana law from taking effect a year ago, Roberts joined the court's four liberal justices to put it on hold. Kavanaugh and Gorsuch were among the four conservatives who would have allowed the law to take effect. Now, those preliminary votes do not bind the justices when they undertake a thorough review of an issue, but they do often signal how a case will come out. In more than 14 years as Chief Justice, Roberts has generally voted to uphold abortion restrictions, including the Texas case 4 years ago. It is for now unclear whether Roberts' outlook on the Louisiana case will be affected by his new role as the court's swing justice since Anthony Kennedy's retirement. His concern about the court being perceived as a partisan institution and his respect for a prior decision of the court, even one he disagreed with. The justice asked an intriguing question about precedent Tuesday, wondering whether a 10-year-old decision would help determine the outcome of a case about the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. "Do you think that recent precedent should have a binding effect on how the court addresses this case?" he asked. Now, Louisiana, the Trump administration, and the anti-abortion groups have all firmly answered that question with a resounding no. Louisiana Solicitor General Elizabeth Murrell told the justices that Louisiana and Texas laws are not identical. "The laws are different. The facts are different. The regulatory structures are different," she said. The Trump administration also argued in court papers that the high court could overrule the Texas case if necessary. Julie Reichelman, Center for Reproductive Rights lawyer who argued the case on behalf of the Shreveport Clinic, said a trial judge found that abortions in Louisiana are safe and that the law provided no health benefits to women, just as the Supreme Court ruled in the Texas case. But hold on now. Reichelman says this court or this case is about respect for the court's precedent. The court also agreed to review whether abortion providers have the right to go into court to represent the interests of women seeking abortions, a ruling in favor of the state's argument that the providers lack the right to sue in these circumstances, known as third-party standing, would be a devastating blow to abortion rights advocates, since doctors and clinics, not individual women who want abortions, file the most challenges to abortion restrictions. But apart from Samuel Alito, the justices did not seem especially interested in resolving the case on the standing issue. So, and we're gonna tie into a related story here in just a moment, but this is going to be an interesting fallout either way. I'd like to see how this is going to go. I would like to hope that maybe somebody will stand up and actually argue for the right of the unborn, because that's something that was never mentioned anywhere in all of this. Women are screaming about their body, but the body that they're destroying is not their body. That is a separate body. So we have that to look forward to. We've got March, April, May, June. We've got 4 months. Hopefully by midsummer, we'll have an update on this and we'll know something. And hopefully it's good for the babies. That's all I got to say on it. But related to this, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer today chastised, warned, threatened Supreme Court Justices Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh that they will, quote unquote, pay the price if they take a position he disagrees with in deciding a case that addresses the credentials required for doctors who perform abortions. This is related to the Louisiana case. Schumer said, "I want to tell you, Gorsuch, and I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions." Sounds like a threat to me. I mean, you know, I'm just me, but sounds like one. So the Supreme Court obviously took this case up, and they will consider the constitutionality of a law requiring doctors who perform abortions to obtain admitting privileges at a hospital within 30 miles of their clinic, a credential many abortionists do not have. Yeah, the critics of the law say it threatens to shut down all but one abortion clinic in Louisiana, which sees roughly 10,000 abortions every year. That should be a crime in itself. The Unsafe Abortion Protection Act was introduced by Democratic State Senator Katrina Jackson, who told National Review she considers her bill a health standard law that is very common sense. Basically, Louisiana, unknowingly to us, had a lower standard of care for women who elected to have abortions in some places, Jackson said. And so what we did was make sure that a standard of health care that we established in Louisiana for years also applied to abortion. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled in favor of the law in September, and the Supreme Court is now considering whether to allow the lower court's ruling to stand or whether the law conflicts with the whole woman's health v. Hellerstadt of 2016 Supreme Court precedent. And that was the Texas law. Pro-life advocates hailed the law as well as the Supreme Court's decision to take up the case. the first the court has agreed to consider that deals with abortion rights since Kavanaugh and Gorsuch were confirmed as justices. Now, Louisiana's abortion business have long and well-documented history of serious health and safety violations that have systematically placed women and girls at risk, said Marilyn Musgrave, the pro-life Susan B. Anthony List vice president. The state has an obligation to regulate these businesses just as they regulate all other ambulatory surgical centers. Musgrave added, it is disingenuous for anyone to claim they care about women and yet actively work to lower the bar on women's health and safety. Does anybody else find this odd that it's Democrats that introduced this legislation in Louisiana? Democrat women. Think about that. Everybody's always wondering, what's the difference between a Southern Democrat and a West Coast Democrat or a Northeast Democrat? Here's your difference right here. For better or worse, this is one of the major differences. So, women deserve this basic care and respect, said Janine Mancini, president of the March of Life. Abortion shouldn't be given a pass on health regulations and oversight. And Chuck Schumer, on his threat, was suddenly unavailable for comment when the media tried to contact him afterwards, maybe knowing he stepped a little bit too far. But, you know, it's typical. You know, I expect this is what they accuse Trump of doing, okay? Trump tweets something. Oh, he's trying to intimidate the judiciary. Well, what do you think Schumer's doing here? You think Schumer's not trying to intimidate Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, calling them out by name, telling them they'll pay the price? They'll feel the wrath? I don't get it. But it's all Trump. It's all Trump. And we're not going to get to the fun science story I had planned, and that's okay. This is one I can probably save. It was going to be the last thing, but we're back at the top of the hour, and that means it's time to remind you to stay tuned for the red wine. They'll be coming up next. I do not know who's on the couch tonight, but the ladies always have a great show.
It's pretty much so, everybody from CPAC.
Okay, so it's going to be a CPAC review on the couch. I'm kind of jealous. I wasn't there, but, you know, I heard lots of fun stories, and, that's okay. I guess I'll get to hug somebody later sometime in the future. I don't know. Maybe we'll see. Anyway, the red wine is coming up next. The lovely ladies will be on the couch, following them. Two ugly dudes, Dan and Rick, will be just kidding.
Hey, I resemble that remark, sir. I'm not going to speak for Dan, though.
And then Rowdy Rick will be your nightcap with America Off the Rails. Folks, that's the show. If you like it, tell your friends. If your friends like it, you need new ones. But they and you are welcome every week right here with me on KLRN Radio for the Conservative Curmudgeon Show. I'm your host, The Grouch. Peace.
I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work. I've been here for 7 years.
To us.